it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Pelican's new Hard Hops Blackberry Seltzer, infused with Strata hops and made with real blackberries. Hard hops are available now at a store near you. Very excited to talk to our next guest who we can't make it work on YouTube. It sounds like we're having some issues with links. So, just us and technical difficulties. They never happen. But we forge forward nonetheless.
I still can't get into my email.
You still can't log into your email. Joining us now, our good friend Lucy Burge, DraftKings Sportsbook partner, at Lucille Burge on Twitter. Go give her a follow. You're going to want to. How does it feel having a Yankee pitcher jump into your mentions after a playoff game, Lucy?
Yeah, oh, just my mentions? Oh, yeah, definitely not anything else. It's a wild feeling to not only, you get chirped by Yankee fans, but not only fans, but the opposing pitcher whom your team just lost to is a whole nother level. So that was certainly something to wake up to after a really tough loss and season-ending loss to the opposing pitcher, not just the opposing pitcher, but a Yankees pitcher, many levels and layers to this. Rookie, a guy who just absolutely shoves your team into a locker, and then you wake up and he reminds you of that himself to the world. So it's many, many great things have been happening, including that one. Yeah, it's a great feeling.
So I want to ask, were you following Cam Schlittler before...
No.
Okay, was he following you before the whole thing, to your
no.
knowledge? Okay, so like...
Must have just popped up in his algorithm or somebody sent it to him?
You're used to being like going viral for different things. I'd imagine you woke up and how bizarre seeing the amount of Yankee fans, but like finding out it's because he jumped in. I mean, talk about a day for you. I mean, TMZ was tweeting about you being trolled by Cam Schlittler. That had to have been a cackle and a thanks. I appreciate all the attention you've given my brand.
Oh, 100%. It was great for the brand. This was wonderful for the brand because it was TMZ, New York Post, Daily Mail. This story went international. And the headlines, I will say, will be framed on my wall. Very, very nice they were in those headlines. New York Post doing follow-ups on this, which in this business, you know, that means the first article did very well. So this topic gets read. So Cam Schlittler has created a phenomenon here when it comes to the rivalry. He has reignited the rivalry as the Red Sox season ends. So I do look forward to seeing how he does tonight. His strikeout line's at 5.5. So if you want to take the under on that for my friend Cam Schlittler here, he might not do so well tonight. We will see.
I want to ask, I don't know if it could have lined up better for you and us. Like, this happened after you were on the show. I see it blow up. We talk about it off the air. You're on today. He's on the bump. This is a must-win game. I think every Yankee fan is concluding he's going to have a same performance and be lights out, and they're going to win this thing.
Is Lucy firing off a tweet if that's an L and the season's over?
What's the tweet? What's the response that I know you're cooking up
you
in case
have
he
something.
Gets shelled and they lose?
You're like Stan right now, writing that letter in his basement. What are we cooking up, Lucy?
Dear Cam, I wrote you, but you are just busy preparing for the game tonight. I will not, to jinx it, I will not have anything ready for if he does well.
Okay.
Because that would be a jinx. So I'm not even looking at that scenario to happen. So it will not occur. So yes, I do have something ready to go should it not go well for, you know, maybe he does well, but the Yankees don't win, maybe, would be a good scenario for everybody, perhaps. So I do have something ready to go in the event that the Yankees lose tonight, which would be the best case scenario for the world, really, because they are evil. And as I said, and was in the, on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, I said that he can go to hell. And the New York Post put that in the
headline. Yes, it was in the headline.
So I will stand by that statement. And look, I do, again, look forward to what he will do tonight. So we'll see. He plays for the Yankees. That's what you have to say. You have to say that.
So for those who, like, I should have done a better job of setting this up for anybody who missed it. So Lucy was a big Red Sox fan, Boston, and we've had some fun with her talking about the Red Sox. They were playing the Yankees in the wild card series, and she had a tweet out there saying Red Sox in two, Red Sox in three, Red Sox in four. It ended up being this, or whatever, three-game series. I know they're quick in the wild card round. They end up losing the game, and Cam Schlittler, you got to say that one slowly, was the starting pitcher in the deciding game of the series and just dominated
Boston. All-time rookie performance.
All-time rookie performance, eight innings, 12 Ks, whatever it was, no walks. He was outstanding. They eliminate the Red Sox, and this dude jumps into Lucy's Twitter mentions and says, whatever it was, not so fast, or I don't think so, or good luck next year, or whatever he was saying. So that's the backstory of all this. It is funny, though, because I saw the New York Post headline saying, gambling influencer, hold on, let me read this, gambling influencer declares war on Yankees Cam Schlittler after Red Sox chirp, quote, go to hell. So I love it. Now, let me ask you this, because we talk about this a lot, Lucy, with, like, you know, would you date somebody that's a fan of a team that you hate, a rival and all that?
No.
Cam Schlittler slides into the DMs. Season ends tonight. You send him a chirp back. Ha ha, welcome to the offseason. Go to Cancun or whatever. He slides into the DM and we get a date ask from Cam Schlittler. Mm. Are you such a diehard Red Sox that that's an automatic no? Do we contemplate it? What's the thought process there?
We would have to see what the thought process would mainly be that he's 23, which is a bit young for me. So I think that would be just right there. No, thank you.
Okay.
But yeah, it's not that we haven't been in touch already. So we'll see. But in terms of would I date someone who is a Yankee fan, I am not above that. My first biggest crush in the world in elementary school, who I still am friends with to this day, he is a big Yankee fan. So I'm not above that. I kind of started out being like, ooh, that's forbidden. So there's something to that where it's like, ooh, they're evil. So yeah, I'm not above that.
So Romeo and Juliet kind of, so we got rivalry families going on here. What is it, the Capulets and whoever, the Montagues or whatever?
Correct. Okay. And he had two tweets after this, and I think this is why it became such a big story. His first tweet was drinking the dirty water or something, because he is from Massachusetts, which is another level to
this.
He's
a masshole.
Of course.
Yeah. So he has betrayed the area. So people already very on edge about that, very angry. Then he replies to my tweet and said, not this year, because I updated my prediction to Sox in three. And he replied, not this year. So those were his two tweets. That's all we heard from him besides his post-game comments. And so people really grabbed onto that. And it took off, which was, as the day progressed, I was like, wow, this really is the story now. This is wonderful.
Well, I'm rooting for the Schlitt show to happen to the Yankees and see them eliminated by the Blue Jays tonight. And we'll have to wait and see. And I can't wait, if they do lose and he's not great, what the response from you
is going to be. Lucy Chirp's going to be next level.
It is going to be next level.
Might be simple.
That's all I'm looking for. Simple yet tasty. That's all I want. Elegant. Classy.
Very classy.
Yes. Who is Lucy Burge right now, based on what you've seen? Who's catching your eye in terms of where you would bet for the World Series market?
Yes. So it's not that interesting, but it's just going to be the Dodgers. Like, it's just going to be them again, that they are just mowing down everybody, and it's just going to be the Dodgers this year again, I have a feeling. And that's, I just can't look at other teams, like, maybe the Mariners, perhaps. But when it comes down to it, it's just the Dodgers again.
Yeah. Our producer's a diehard Dodger fan, and all he does is complain, even though his team won a championship last year.
It's really tough.
It's so hard, you know.
Lucy, he was complaining by how they got their third out in their win.
It took too long for the bullpen to close it up. We need to be better than that. Mariner fans chiming in like, yo, we haven't won a home playoff game in a quarter century. Why don't you sit down over there, all right? So that's what our life is like right now on the show. Anybody hitting a dong tonight? You like any dongs tonight?
two guys I do like. One of them's a Dodger, and it's Kike Hernandez. He has three home runs off of Aaron Nola in his career. October Kike is something to behold. He's batting .313 this postseason, better than the regular season. He is due to hit a postseason home run. I think so. A Kike Hernandez home run. And then, unfortunately, Aaron Judge to hit a home run. He is batting .500 against Varlin, and he's got three home runs against him. So it's a great spot for him, I think, to hit another one, which people are calling his one last night. Impossible. Like, oh, how'd he do that? He's superhuman. Get over it. He's really tall and he's good. Like, what are we even talking about?
Can't wait to pull that when you start dating Aaron Judge. Get over it.
He's good. He's tall. What's the big deal? Also very tall.
Big win for your Patriots on Sunday night. That must have been fun to watch. A competent offense, an exciting offense that happened. Where are we looking for this week in the NFL?
Yeah, the playoff Patriots, perhaps. They are now on the list of teams that the Chiefs are on the bubble and the Patriots are right there with playoff teams. So it's a very exciting time in New England because we're due, just like the Dodgers fans are. I am looking at the Patriots -3.5 against the Saints as they carry their momentum. Drake May is the guy. So you look at Tom Brady and Drake May, and you're like, it's the same picture. It's the same guy. He's the next Tom Brady. But also, I'm looking at the Eagles against the Giants. Eagles -7. The Giants are 4-13 against the spread in their last 17 and 1-5 against the spread in the last 6 NFC East games. So Eagles -7.
Okay.
I like that bounce back spot, too, for the Eagles.
People are pissed you're not on YouTube, and now they're just stuck staring at me. So where can people go find the IG? And let's shout it out, the IG and the Twitter. Where do they go?
Yes, exactly. While you're listening to me, you can look at photos of me if you'd like. IG is Lucille Burge. Twitter is also Lucille Burge. TikTok is Lucy Burge 1.
Oh, TikTok too.
All God, right. I hope he has just terrible, generic, athletic DMs that he sent you as like an apology. To like, I'd love to take you out some time that you exposed him today.
He apologizes. I'm going to say it's not, you're not forgiven. Not okay.
Not
I'm
okay.
I'm going to be ruthless.
Not okay. Lucy Burge
also,
is her
name.
Also,
you don't want to be a Schlittler. That just, like, how do you even introduce yourself like that?
Lucy Burge is a better name. You can't, if that happens, Lucy, don't change
keep
your
last,
name, okay?
Yeah. I'll hyphenate it. That would be really
Burge Schlittler?
No.
You're better than that.
Come on, Lucy.
Our children will have such an easy life dealing with that one.
So you know who invented walking bets here? I don't care about your 8 shutout innings in the wild card round. He didn't do anything about walking bets. You can be Cam Burge. How about that?
You just want to keep the name so you can say, hey, get back here, you little schlitz.
Yeah.
Yep. That's good. Oh, no, this has to happen now.
That's a fun one to yell. I'm not going to lie. That's kind of a fun one to yell. At Lucille Burge on Twitter, DraftKings Sportsbook partner, our great friend, and she joins us every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Lucy, good luck tonight writing up your response if there is a Yankee loss, and we'll chat again next week.
Sounds great. Can't wait. I will talk to you guys next week.
There you go, Lucy Burge. The back and forth there was funny. That all kind of transpired after we were off the air. She also, by the way, should be noted.
Yeah, she hit a dong last
week. She hit a dong last
week. She did.
One of her dongs hit.
Yeah.
And so...
So her two plays today are Kike and Judge, right?
Kike Hernandez for the Dodgers and Aaron Judge for the New York Yankees. Should we parlay them? Should we do a solo bet?
Let's look it up the odds would be if they both hit.
We'll dive into that during the break. We'll see if the dongs will hit. That is still to come. We'll get back into the baseball stuff here in a moment at the bottom of the hour. Do the Mariners punch a ticket to the ALCS today? Did I jinx them in my pre-show video saying they're a game away from the World Series because it was early and I was confused? So that question will be asked. The Dodgers trying to eliminate the Phillies. We've got a lot going on today. Does it all happen? The Yankees, they say live another day. We'll dive back into some baseball stuff. But Stat or Story is next on 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls.
So
that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent
and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. 9:20 on your Wednesday morning. We'll get back into some baseball stuff in a moment.
I looked it up. Parlayed Kike and an Aaron Judge home run on DraftKings here locally. +2188.
I have put $2 on it.
I got my two bucks here.
My $2 to pay like 40 something bucks.
$45.
$45. I got my $2 bet on there.
I'm placing $1 for $23.
There you go.
Come on, Lucy. Don't let us down.
Queen of Dongs.
Let's enjoy the dong tonight. Stat or story time. I'll start today. Let's go around robin. I'll fire it off first.
Okay.
Your number today, ladies and gentlemen, 1082.
1082. Okay.
Is it the career point total for the greatest hockey player of all time, Connor McDavid? Welcome back to NHL season.
Dude, how do you not know this?
Or is it the weight of a pumpkin grown by a man in Montana, which has set and smashed the state record for the heaviest pumpkin ever grown?
State the stat one more time.
1,082. Career points for Connor McDavid.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Or the pounds of the state record-holding largest pumpkin in the history of Montana.
I'm going with a story here, Bob.
I'm going to go story?
Yeah.
Okay. Swag?
I'm going story. I believe he's a little closer to 1,100 I was paying attention last night.
Okay.
Wasn't 1,088.
No, I was not paying attention.
No. I mean, you're not wrong there. He's... Yeah, you both said story, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I said stat.
And then you got confused. You definitely said story. 1,082 is his career points. 1,082.
Okay.
Is what he has in his career through 712 games.
Did that include last night's game?
I believe I'm just looking at the ESPN page in front of me, so I'm assuming that it did. Because, I'm assuming. How many points did he have last night? I didn't watch the game. I didn't watch it because they were the late game. The only one I watched a bit of was Panthers and Blackhawks because of the timing of it. In the evening, I was watching baseball.
Oh, wait. He's playing tonight.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think he played last night.
We're all over the map.
No, the state record for the pumpkin has come in. Montana man has smashed the record. His pumpkin weighs 1,591 pounds. 1,500.
That's a lot of pie.
And 91. His name is Joe Nigro. He is a insurance salesman. He moonlights as a... basically a harvester. That's what he does. Spends 5 years working his green thumb, and he's grown this pumpkin, and he has now won the title of the heaviest pumpkin grown in Montana.
Wow.
1,591 pounds. There's a picture of him sitting on... the thing is just... you would guess it.
Yeah.
Massive. The previous state record for the pumpkin in Montana was 1,348 pounds.
I have a buddy that does these.
Like, tries to break records of pumpkins?
He tries to grow the big pumpkins. Yeah, he actually has a field section of his house. He's got a huge, massively big, spacious front yard.
Mm.
And every year, he's got a section he grows his pumpkin plant. And it's a specific kind of pumpkin that you need for the seed.
Yeah, because you can't just grow a normal pumpkin.
No. No, you can't get lucky like that. There's actually a specific pumpkin that grows extra large. And every year, he'll, like, send me photos. He's a big dude. He's got a big bear mitt hand. And he'll send a photo of his hand on a pumpkin. He's like, oh, my God.
That's a big pumpkin.
And he's like, it doesn't even come close to some of the pumpkins that end up being in the contest.
One of my favorite things to grow, dude. I love growing. We didn't do it this year because of the moving and couldn't get them planted in time and it didn't take off. I love growing pumpkins every year. It's a lot of fun. They kind of take over. It looks cool in the backyard. You pick them, around Halloween time. You don't have to go to a pumpkin patch and spend money on a pumpkin. It's a win-win for everybody.
There's a farm kind of in my, like, by my neighborhood. And I don't know what it... it's a squash of some sort. It's not a pumpkin, but it's got a little bit of orange on it with green. Sure, it's the smaller ones that are green and orange.
Yeah, sure.
Whole field of them.
Just all over the map, huh?
Haven't been picked.
Oh.
And they've been out there for weeks.
The time is now. What are we doing?
Well, are those...
it's a season.
I don't know.
Are those actual squash that would go for... to eat? Or are they just decorative? Because if they're eat, they got
to
be picked.
They look like the ones you would buy at a grocery store to eat.
Okay. Well,
and I kind of want to walk up and just grab one because they literally haven't touched them.
Okay. Well,
the plants are dead and they're just sitting there.
Yeah, go snag one. I think you're safe.
Ah, it's stealing.
Yeah. I feel bad about that. Come on.
Okay.
All right, who wants to go next?
You or me?
I'll go.
Okay.
Your number is 3.
3.
Oh.
3. Is it the ranking of shooting guard for your Portland Trailblazers of all the teams in the NBA, according to an athletic ranking of every position group in the NBA,
who technically are our shooting guards,
or is it the song number?
Is Drew a one or a two?
Of one Taylor Swift Wood on her new album that just was released.
Wood is the name of the song?
Yes.
Wood.
Yes.
Is she talking about somebody's wood?
Like wood or W-O-U-L-D?
Yeah, is it O-O-D or W-O-L-D?
Good question.
Yeah. No answers there. We got to wait.
I have not sampled the latest Taylor Swift release.
Today I'm laying the big wood.
It's on The Life of a Showgirl.
I have no idea.
So I feel like that my instinct tells me I want to go story here. I'm just like, who are technically our shooting guards? Shaedon Sharpe. Is Drew counted as a shooting guard? I would imagine so. Right? Or is he a one? He's a combo guard?
I have no idea.
Can we have the third best ranking of shooting guards in the NBA? You know what? I'm falling into the trap. Give me story. Story. Final answer!
I'm going to take the trap. Stat.
Step into it.
Indeed. According to The Athletic's Law Murray, who ranked every position and every team's player in said position, your Portland Trailblazers have the third best shooting guard in the National Basketball Association, Denny Avdija.
Denny Avdija is a shooting guard, huh?
According to him, it's going to be Drew, Denny, Tumani, Jeremy, and Donovan, with Shaedon as the reserve at two. Okay. He has Denny Avdija better than Mikal Bridges, Zach LaVine, Austin Reeves, Desmond Bain, Derek White.
Wow.
We have the third best two guard in the National Basketball Association.
Am I wrong of not thinking of Denny as, I mean, it's positionless basketball, I get it, but like if you ask me what position he is, he's more of a three.
Two. I would say three.
Yeah, that's what I guess too.
But oh well.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this is a track listing.
Yeah.
Is number nine.
Number nine.
On The Life of a Showgirl.
Okay.
And it is W-O-O-D.
Hey, bruh. Welcome to Casa de Wood.
And I'm telling you right now,
what?
I'm going to read you the lyrics. I'm going to read you the lyrics.
Okay.
Okay? Forgive me, it sounds cocky. He amatized me and opened my eyes. Redwood tree, it ain't hard to see. His love was the key that opened my thighs.
The big wood's still in here?
Girls, I don't need to catch the bouquet. To know a hard rock is on the way.
Today I'm laying the big wood.
And baby, I'll admit, I've been a little superstitious. Superstitious. The curse on me was broken by your magic wand. Ah, seems to me that you and me, we make our own luck. New heights of manhood, manhood. I ain't got a knock on wood.
Hey, bruh. Welcome to Casa de Wood.
Is there anything possibly better than this stature of celebrity publicly talking about how big and great your unit is?
No, not at all. Not at all. For every female on the face of the earth to hear. Because nobody, I mean, that's just, she's shattering records left and right.
It sounds like he's shattering her.
Yeah, that's exactly
Redwood
what it sounds
tree,
like.
It ain't
Casey
hard to see.
Some dedication when you need it.
Really is,
his love
dude.
Was the key that opened my thighs?
How about that?
Our hard rock is on the way?
Yes.
He has turned her out.
Put that in a friendship bracelet.
I like how we banned Baby It's Cold Outside. Dude, that song's way too offensive. Mate, they're kissing unwantedly. You can't play that. This one will be allowed number one song in America. Can I ask the Swift to the non-existent Taylor Swifties who don't listen to our show?
Well, we have one Swiftie that listens.
Oh, that's true. Brooke Olsendam.
I'm going to ask her about this actually during the break.
I gave Brooke Olsendam a follow on Instagram. I didn't get one back. I'm a little disappointed. I thought we had friendship bracelets as listeners of each other's shows. But I digress.
I think Instagram is different than Twitter.
Is her, is she like the Cubs now winning a World Series? Is the mystique gone? Because like when you think of Taylor Swift music, what was she always known for?
Yeah. The breakup.
It was always anti-boy, he broke up with me, men are horrible. Like that's largely been, you know, kind of her genre. It's like this one might take on the Cubs when they finally won the World Series.
Can she
it's
be
like,
syrupy sweet now?
Yeah. Like is it just going to be all songs about Travis Kelce's ween? Is that what we're getting albums about?
It's a mixed review album, but I think I kind of end on the Swiftie version of her talking about her freaky side.
Getting her freak on?
I mean.
Yeah? All She's going to go Christina Aguilera, Dirt A.
I'm in.
You and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
This is how you get more Swifties.
Apparently
that is
so.
True. Grow the brand.
All
I'm
right.
A Swifty, bro.
Your next number also happens to be three.
Three? Oh, okay.
Three.
Okay.
Is it the number of Trailblazers on the training camp roster that have at one point in their NBA careers been named to an all-NBA defensive team?
Wait. Okay.
Or is it the number of hearts octopi have? It is World Octopus Day.
Oh, this is a story. So, Drew, obviously two. Is there not a third? Is anybody else that's made it? You said all defensive team?
Has made an NBA all defensive team in their career.
I know Drew has.
Can I look up their summer? Can I look up their roster right now? I won't look up the stat, but can I look at the roster?
Yeah. There's no tricks on this, by the way.
No, I'm pretty sure is a story because I think I've given this enough update.
Who would be the third one? Yeah, that would be, because that's my question. Like, I know there's two for obvious. And is there anybody that we're missing on the roster?
Well, it's not Sean Padula.
You sure
I thought
about
he
that?
Got waived. Didn't he get signed and waived in the same day?
What about this Blake Wesley guy everybody keeps telling me about? Has he ever been an all-defensive guy?
No, he's barely even a roster guy.
This is a story.
Has to be, right?
No.
Ooh, wait.
Hold it.
Tease.
We're forgetting about Tease.
Matisse.
It's a stat.
Final answer.
There are four. Tumani Kamara.
Oh, Rob Williams.
What
Drew
are we doing? Holiday, Rob Matisse Thybulle.
You're the basketball
and
guys.
Williams.
God.
I knew it was three hearts, too.
Come on.
I'm giving enough update.
The funny part, I pulled up the Trailblazer game notes for today to see if they might have a starting lineup there.
Where were you at? Why was that all on me? I had to do the animal and
you're the basketball guy. You're the basketball guy.
If you want to know, the first page of like when they get into like their notes and their little nuggets, it's all defensive stuff. The only offensive thing is Denny Avdija bursting onto the scene. This is the very first thing.
Blazer roster. The offensive thing is not starting Shaden Sharpe.
Features four all defensive selections.
Is Anthony Simons on one of those?
No. Drew Holiday's made three different All-NBA teams.
He's a hell of a defender, dude.
Yes.
He's a hell of a defender.
No, it is World Octopus Day. Did you know octopuses,
Whoa, dude.
Which is the proper plural. There is no octopi. It is octopuses. They have three hearts.
Damn it. I did know that, and I just failed. Yes. Yeah.
What do they need three hearts for?
So they have two hearts that pump all the blood out to their tentacles.
And the third's for their feelings.
And then the one is to clean all the blood as it works through the system.
Mm. Octopuses are they're an alien, man.
There are over 300 known species of octopus in the world. The largest
recorded... That's a lot more octopus than I would have thought.
Octopus specimen had an arm span of 33 feet and weighed almost 600 pounds.
Imagine running that guy swimming around the ocean.
And
terrifying.
For short distances, octopus can swim nearly 25 miles per hour.
When they go along the seabed in videos and they're just camouflaging as they go, that is crazy to me.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
I can't believe we...
And their blood is blue. There is copper in
blue
the proteins
blood?
In their blood.
The octopus is the original blue blood? Is that
yes,
what you're telling me?
It is.
And there's non-debatable. A species of octopus that can throw its unit to a female, mate with the unit, and come back to itself.
Very true. Very true stuff.
God, why didn't I get that right?
Well, we whiffed on that. Look at us, all defensive teams. Have we ever had more than... I mean, that has to be the most in franchise history, right?
It would be in the notes if it was, wouldn't it?
Has there been a Blazer team that had more than four all-defensive selections?
I don't know.
We went like 30 years without having one.
Yeah.
Until two did it last year. Because when was our last... Didn't we did that. Wasn't it Theo Ratliff
was
the last
Theo Ratliff in 03-04.
That a long time ago. I was in middle school.
A long time ago.
There you go. Saturday story. Every Wednesday, 9:15. All righty. Let's get to Major League Baseball. How many continue? How many end? And are the Seattle Mariners, are they going to do it today?
Dude.
Are they going to do it today?
Big day for Mariner fans.
Is this it? Are you punching your ticket to the LCS? Are you puckering if you lose?
We'll have to see.
Casey Mize on the mound for the Tigers?
Oh, I know who that is.
How are we feeling? Number one overall pick? We'll talk a little baseball stuff next.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Swag, how we feeling? We're going to complain again today?
I'm so nervous. My team might only win by one.
No, the only nervous part is Yamamoto getting through the first inning.
Oh,
if he gets touched up, it's in the first inning.
Yeah, the best Japanese baseball pitching prospect you got since you signed Shohei for $3 million. I'd be nervous, too.
After that, if he can get through the first inning and he looks like he's settled in and rolling, then no, it should be a happy day.
Is Doc Roberts a genius if he keeps him out in the first inning? Or
it's 0.00 postseason ERA so far. That is the nightcap tonight, Phillies and Dodgers in L.A. You got four games today. It is the last full day of Major League Baseball, everybody. So pour a little out for Major League Baseball. We got four games. Starts at noon. Mariners and Tigers. Casey Mize is on the hill for Detroit, and he's going against Miller for Seattle. That's your starting pitching matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, an even split in that game odds-wise. Yesterday, Detroit was an underdog at home, and then the game happened. You're like, oh, that's why they were an underdog at home.
Yeah, Logan Gilbert had it working.
Yes, he did. There was not really a contest there once they got a couple of runs. Casey Mize is a good he's a good pitcher, so they'll have
he's
a
stiffer. Good, but I think the Mariners are just
it's just a stiffer test today is
playing.
What I would say. Yeah, and I think there's pressure in the back of your mind of not wanting to have to see Skubal again in a game five, even though it would be at home. And I think you feel fine there, too, because you have beaten him every time you played him so far this year. But just to get yourself some rest, make sure your rotation is set. You could have New York win another game in the other series, and so that goes to five, and then they got to drag that out and go back to Toronto. So there's a lot going on there. You end it today, you feel great. That is the first game up today, 12:08 first pitch. Love the randomness of that time on FS1.
Well, how about the universe lining up? How about this? On this day in 1995, Edgar Martinez drove in Ken Griffey Jr. in the bottom of the 11th of Game 5 of the ALDS to give them a 6-5 win.
This was the day, huh?
Over the Yankees. This was the day.
The day that they win.
The most famous organizational highlight.
Yep.
This was the day.
With not
Brent
even close.
Musburger on the call.
Yeah, this one would be pretty wild. They have not been to an ALCS in a quarter century. It's been a long time.
Now, I kind of always just think in baseball, you get to an LCS, you're feeling good, and also you shouldn't really have an answer here of like, who would you rather play?
No.
I don't think they do.
Both those teams. I mean, the Yankees. Oh. Traditionally kind of own you.
They do, historically.
And the Blue Jays, who knows, you know?
Blue Jays seem like a wagon with the way their offense is going, but then they blow the lead last night, and you're like, oh, you got me, might be going to a game five back in Toronto. I have no clue how that one's going to go. Yeah, there's no preference there, I think, either way.
I might be the most confident that that series is over.
Of all the series, that's the one you're most confident in today?
I think the Dodgers are going to win, but I think if I was to do a confidence meter, it'd be Mariners 1.
Yeah.
Brewers 2. Well,
I think Brewers 2.
Yeah, Brewers is a good one.
You got game 3 in that series. That's a 2:00 start time.
Yes.
I think everybody's forgotten about that start time on TBS. That's where you can find that one. Any pulse for the Cubs at all?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Famous last words.
Who's on the bumps?
Tyone starting again for the Cubs.
Yeah, Tyone starting for the Cubs.
I've never heard of the Brewers pitcher.
Priester?
Well, I've never heard of the Cubs.
Priester.
Tyone.
Quinn Priester.
He's 13-3 with a 3.32 ERA, so those numbers are fantastic.
The Miz are going to you got to pitch again?
I don't know. He pitched quite a bit in game 2. He threw like 30
That's a lot of
30
pitches.
Of his pitches over 100 miles an hour.
Golly, that guy's fun to watch.
So,
yeah,
who knows?
I think everybody's forgotten that series is even in existence. The two teams haven't because it's a good rivalry and they're located close together. And remember, the Brewers' manager
Craig
Counsell. He walked out the door to go be the manager of the Cubs. That's always controversial when it happens, when you lose a coach and then it's, you know, obviously to a divisional rival and all that.
Well, that's why it's got to taste a little sweeter for
Brewers. Oh, if you're a Brewer fan, you're feeling fantastic.
You didn't get cursed out of the first round again. You showed up and you beat Council. Is this a disappointing year for the Cubs?
I don't know.
Hard to tell.
I don't think so.
Boy, this show in baseball.
Swag's the baseball guy.
I got one guy halfway out the door, and the other guy watches, but somehow doesn't know.
Somehow doesn't have an answer on that one. I don't know what the expectations were for the Cubs coming in.
I don't
can't
either.
Speak for Cubs fans. I don't think that they had title or bust thoughts. Like, they've had a decent offseason, and they've added some pieces to the roster, but I don't think they came into the year thinking, like, this is a... Philly, to me, is the team
Philly's
that,
a big one.
This is a disappointing. Yeah. If you get back to the postseason, you get swept by the Dodgers. Even if you lose, I don't care if you win a game. If you lose to the Dodgers in the first round of the playoffs, that is absolutely a disappointment because that team will not look the same next year.
Well, how many teams, I mean, honestly, in this have title or bust hopes? It's the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Yankees.
Yeah, those three.
Right? Everybody else is kind of...
That's kind of it. But what I would add to that, though, is that I think I would argue that every team should have that just because of the fact that nothing is ever guaranteed in baseball.
Especially as open as things look.
So, like, I agree with on the surface for sure, but it's like we did this. We do this with teams all the time when teams make it and they're young and we're like, all right, that's a fun story. And then they disappear up the face of the earth. So, like, to me, it's title or bust for all of them because there's no guarantee you'll be back in the mix next year. Seattle did this a couple years ago. They made it, and we're like, all right, here comes a new wave of playoff appearances, and then they went back-to-back years without making the postseason, and now they're back in it again. So we tend to think that next year they'll be good again, and the AOS will be winnable again, but as we learned the last time they went, it's never a guarantee, and last time I checked, they don't have the most trustworthy front office and owner, so are they going to spend a lot of money? How many of the four series come to an end today?
Three.
Three of the four?
Yeah.
And it's the usual, the Dodgers, Brewers...
You think the Yankees are the only
one? I think Cam Schlittler will,
deliver again?
Deliver, and that'll go back to Toronto.
Talk about creating a legacy and, you know, just kind of aura for yourself at such a young point of your career if he can go do that again. But I also look at the other side of that, and I'm like, okay, has he pitched in a game bigger than this? Because the last one was big, and
last
he delivered.
One was big. Yeah, the elimination game.
This one's bigger.
It's another big elimination game.
To go to the, you know, keep your series alive, go back to Toronto. I don't know where the confidence meter for me is in that, but I'll say, I'll jump on with you guys, the Brewers, not having any idea, and I'll say Dodgers, and I'll go Mariners. Mariners are my power rank number one confidence.
Have a confidence pick to win today. All right, cook up your parlays. We'll see how many series come to an end and how many we get going in, continuing into the end of the week. Let's close it up with poll questions, and will you watch tonight? Next on The Fan. All right, let's take a look at the poll questions. Wrap it up today on a Wednesday. Set you up for tomorrow's show.
Pate State
appearance. He'll be on at 7:40, as he always is. We'll talk about the Oregon-Indiana game. He's heading to Alabama, Missouri this weekend. Some thoughts on the rest of the state of college football. Do you trust Scott Barnes as the athletic director of Oregon State? How is 5% of people voting yes on
this? Well, to be fair, I think people have noted it's probably Duck fans trolling.
Right?
Of like, yeah, dude, keep him there.
If there's anybody who has a yes vote and is serious with the yes vote.
And they're an Oregon State fan.
Can you show your work? Can you give a reason?
Anyone? Not today. No.
One reason at all?
You cannot.
No. Would Babe Ruth be able to make contact with Mason Miller's fastball? Somehow 38% of you are saying yes to that.
Well, Swag voted because he saw it live.
That is true. the Whammer. Does anybody still have a dish as a TV provider? 9% of you said yes. We actually had a guy tweet us and was like, yeah, I still got a dish. My dad and Sandy has dish. I've been using my mom's DirecTV login as my provider for 6 years. Hey, you got to grind however you got to grind. I appreciate the hustle. So some people still do have dish. Was not quite a 0% as I predicted earlier in the show. Will we be watching tonight? It all begins. The journey to a Larry O'Brien. Starts at 7 o'clock.
It'll be on the second screen.
I mean, you got your baseball team playing in a playoff elimination game, potentially, so I don't blame you at all for that.
I will be missing the beginning of this, but I will be catching it late, and then at that point, I'll be watching Blake Wesley operate the offense.
That'll be my question of, like, is there anybody relevant playing in the game in the second half? Or do they, like, how does NBA preseason usually work? What's the formula there? Is it like NFL where you get a quarter and then that's it? Everybody else sits?
They've shortened it down to four games, so.
I think you're going to have Wop, Chris Murray, Caleb Love, Blake Wesley, and Ryan Rupaire on the court.
In the second half.
With City Sissoko.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be the guys you see in the second half.
And I probably won't watch much.
So, first half,
might check it out at the start, though.
Young will get some minutes.
I think there will be lots of mixing and matching and experimenting with different combinations.
Yeah, see what the right lineup is.
In the first half. So, I'll be curious there. But, yeah, in the second half, unless he wants the starters to come out with some halftime adjustments to see how they implement them.
Sure.
And then they're pulled at the first time out.
Because a lot of that will depend on, you got Blue Jays and Yankees at 4, so that game should be relatively wrapped up by the time the Blazer game starts, unless it's getting wild and wonky in the Bronx. And then you'll have Dodgers and Phillies. So if that game gets lopsided, that's a 6 o'clock start time, or right after that, somewhere in that window for us. If that game's like 5-0 Dodgers early, I'll probably end up watching a chunk of the first half of the game.
I had to turn the Yankee game off last night.
Did you?
Too
late, or you just didn't want to watch the Yankees win?
Yeah. They brought it back out of me.
Yeah.
I'll be rooting pretty hard. I mean, I have a Mariner ticket, but yeah, they end up coming back in that one.
Let's go Blue Jays, baby. Mm. Well, that will do it for us, folks. Good little show. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, 1051thefan on Twitter, at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. If you missed it, we had Lucy Burge on, the Queen of Dongs, also talked about her controversy with the Yankee pitcher who's starting the game tonight. You can go find that one as soon as we're wrapped up here. Tomorrow we will have Josh Payne on the show at 7:40, as we always do. We'll make our big pack picks, interesting picks this week. Who do we like? We got some short weeks. Got some interesting matchups. We'll make all four of those picks tomorrow. And we get an NFC East edition of Thursday Night Football. We'll see how the baseball goes today. Good luck to everybody's teams out there. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Thanks for being a part of our Wednesday. Like the video on YouTube and subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. The firm of Harrison Meringue is next. Listening to 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.